Good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started this morning. We'd like to find out first who is in worship with us today. We ask members and guests to take the pew pad that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to take this pad, write your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes that tells us a little bit about you, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. And we certainly appreciate you doing this. And once it gets to the last person on the pew, when you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we do ask, once it comes back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for helping us with that this morning. Reminder about a couple of things. We are having children's time today, so invite all the kids to come right down front a little bit later in the service. Also, Sunday night schedule resumes tonight, starting at 4:30 with the youth choir. Other things that are listed there in your bulletin, upcoming events, opportunities for the week. I'll highlight a couple of them. This Tuesday evening at 6:30, we have a seminar. Miss Julie Cunningham, she has been working in the school system and in the last few years began a program of helping high schoolers and their parents prepare for admission to college. And so we're holding a free seminar this Tuesday night from 6:30 until 8 here at the church. And all high schoolers and their parents are welcome to attend this free event. Also, Wednesday night continues this week. We are starting our discipleship classes. The one in Smith Hall started this past week. All those parents, grandparents who are interested in talking about family issues, from preschoolers to children to teenagers and so forth, we're going to be having a session down in the coffee house area to talk about the possible topics. I want to hear some of your feedback or things that you'd like to talk about. That will begin at 6:45 this Wednesday evening in the coffee house area, which is in the lower level of the education building. Then on September 26th, there will be the Power of a Woman's Words. This is a session that will be started for all the ladies in our church. It will also be happening on Wednesday nights, but it will not start until September 26th. All of these you can do in conjunction with the 30-day challenge that Raymond will be talking about that will be happening on Sundays. A couple other reminders. Appreciate all the people that are working so diligently and so hard in our nursery. As I said last week, it takes 64 adults per month to provide all the child care needed for our preschoolers, both in the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock. That's a lot of adults. And so we appreciate any help that you can provide. We only have about 10 spots left to fill. If you come to 11 o'clock, we'd love to have you in the 9 o'clock. If you come to typically come to the 9 o'clock service, we'd love to have you serve in the 11 o'clock. So we're certainly in need. A lot of children in there. There's a lot of energy on that hallway, like many places in our church, and we need your help in making that happen. One final thing, a prayer partner ministry began up a couple weeks ago, and it's time for us to get all the students in our church, an adult who's praying with them. And the way we do that, there's a table as you leave the church that has a prayer partner ministry sign on it. And there are almost all the college students are just about gone and half of the children and the youth. And we've gotten a good start, but we need to finish that up in the next couple weeks. So if you're an adult who can pray and mentor a child or a youth or a college student, we encourage you to grab one of those envelopes. All the instructions are included. And if you have any questions about that, please feel free just to ask. That's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're certainly blessed by your presence today. We would like to give something to you. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. If you're a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand where you are. Our ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you from our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church, and you'll find out a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being here this morning, and we pray that God would send a special blessing to you through this worship. It is good. Change is good. We don't really believe that, do we? Well, how many of you want 100-degree weather all year long? It's time for fall. And you know the smells that come around September, October, how the trees change? Change is good. It's not always easy. There's a bunch of leaves in my yard already because the trees are changing. But God uses change to get our attention, to remind us we're not in control, and to show us what we can be. Because if he did not change us through the death and resurrection of Christ, then we have no reason to worship. Change is a beautiful thing if we'll let God change us. That's why we come to worship. Let us worship together. Will you pray with me? Father, our story begins and ends with you. There is no way we could be here today without Jesus on the cross. For his sacrifice, for his love, for his mercy and his grace, we come to worship you and to say thank you. Father, we are overwhelmed by the second chance that you have given to us. So often we take it for granted. So often you're the last thought on our mind. For this moment, at this time, you are first in our lives. May it be so now and always. Be in this place, we pray. For without you, we are nothing. And for without you, worship is meaningless. So inhabit this place. Show up. Share your love with us. And we will tell you how much we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. there's this story that I was, one day I had to go to work with my brother to my dad's office, okay? And our job was to, we had to clean the office, we had to clean all the cars, there were big vans that my dad's company had. This is what we did on Saturday. We had to clean the office, we had to clean all the cars, we had a big bay that's probably about as big as this room. And we had to sweep it, clean all the cars that were in it, and it took a lot of time. And there was one day that I did not want to do anything. But my dad said, okay, before we go home, you have to sweep the bay and you have to wash the cars. Okay, and there was like five big vans that I had to wash. Now my brother and I, we got into a conversation that I wanted to sweep and he had to do all the cars. Now which one do you think would be easier? Sweep or do five big vans? Wash them. Sweep, exactly. So why do you think I wanted to sweep? Because I wanted the easy job, exactly. I didn't want to wash those five cars. And when my dad says wash the cars, you have to do the soap on the inside, you had to do the windows, you had to armor all the tire and all that. I mean, this thing, it had to be clean. Did you ever have to wash your car at your house? No? Well, we had to do it spotless or sweep the bay. So, I wanted to sweep the bay, so I grabbed the broom first. What do you think my brother did? He grabbed the broom second. And I remember being in that big old bay, and we were tugging. No, I want to sweep. No, no, I want to sweep. No, I want to sweep. We were fighting over who was going to sweep. Have you ever fight with your brother or your sister?
Yeah.
Oh, it happens all the time. Well, I'm going to tell you a story, not about a brother who was fighting with his brother. This guy, his name was Andrew. Andrew had a brother named Simon. And in our Bible story, Andrew was the first one between he and Simon to see Jesus. He was the very first one. And when Andrew saw Jesus, do you know what he did? The next thing that he did, he ran and told his brother. He saw Jesus, and he said, I have got to tell my brother Simon about this guy. He didn't want to keep such a good friend away from his brother. Sometimes we get into fights with our brothers and our sisters and our moms and our dads. But you know what Andrew showed? He said, we need to tell when we see Jesus, when we learn about him, it doesn't matter what's happened with our brother or sister in the past. We need to run and tell them how much Jesus loved them. You know what? I regret the fight with my brother and I got into that day. Because I was bigger and stronger than he was. And I remember jerking the broom out of his hand. And I've always felt very sorry about that fight that we got into. But you know what? We were able to get past that because Jesus, he and I, we believe in Jesus. And that's why. You going to let that go for me? Here, thank you. It's very, very important. Don't fight with your brothers and sisters, but to show them Jesus in everything you do. So the next time you get into a fight, remember, I'm fasting with you. Thank you. All right? Sit still for me. Remember, don't fight with your brothers and sisters. You tell them about who? Jesus, just like Andrew. Let's pray together, okay? Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be in worship with you. Thank you for the people in this room, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to share Jesus with those we love. In Jesus' name. Alright, let's go back to our seat.
What a wonderful lesson. It's great. Good for all of us of all ages. I'd like to share God's word with you, Psalm 146, if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, page 750. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed, and he gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's go to God together in prayer. On this beautiful Sunday morning, we come to praise you, O God, for your love, that powerful love that is transforming, life-changing, that cannot be contained upon this earth, cannot even be fully understood by our limited minds, but it is ours to receive and to allow to work inside of us and change us to bring us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for that love that you offer us, the love that breaks our chains, that unties us from all that keeps us from being what you're calling us to be. We thank you for the chains that fall away, the chains of sin or shame, of guilt, of regret. For this love is based in the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. That grace, that free gift that is ours that we could never ever earn. We thank you that we can live into that grace. We can laugh into that grace, walk into that grace, and serve into that grace. We thank you, O God, that this love that you offer us allows us to love others. We could never drum up the kind of love we need. But if we step aside and put you on the throne of our lives, then you love through us. We just become channels. And how wonderful it is to feel your love moving and working inside of us and reaching outside of us and brimming over to touch the lives of others. We thank you for the love of Christ that's at the heart of this church, our heartbeat, so to speak, the love that binds us together, that invisible bond of our Savior, the love that moves us to care for each other and pray for each other and to reach outside these walls to those who are still in the dark and who do not know you. Thank you for this love which guides us, the love expressed through your Son. So thank you for this love. And Father, we pray for all of those members of this church and beyond who are suffering, those who are anxious and worried, those who are suffering from sickness or illness in the hospital. Father, we just pray you'd use us as your instruments of love in their lives. May they know how much you love them and we love them. Now, Lord, thank you for this day of worship. And we pray that worship will continue every day in our hearts during this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to gather here in your house today. Lord, we thank you for this body of believers, for the love we share one with another, for the support we receive from each other, and just the Christian fellowship that means so much in each of our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the way you've intervened in each of our lives, for being there, for the salvation that we have. And Lord, as we look back, we see where you have led us, you've guided us, you've supported us throughout our lives. And Lord, we know that that support will continue as we move forward. Lord, we just thank you for the many blessings we have received, Lord, both spiritual, material, through friends, just all the blessings. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with those offerings that we bring back to you today. Lord, we realize that you're the owner of everything that we have. And Lord, we just thank you for the ability we have to return to you a portion of that that you've made us stewards over. And Lord, we pray that you would take these offerings, you would bless them and use them for your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. I guess it's a good thing that Jeff taught us that little lesson about change before we started today, right? Kind of got that out of the way. Wow. Choir, thank you so much. Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you're glad you're here today. It's a glorious day. I love fall, and as Jeff has already alluded to, the weather changing is an exciting time for us. And if you're a guest with us here this morning, we're delighted that you're here with us and you have joined us at the beginning of a great season of ministry that we're going to be experiencing over the next 5 or 6 weeks. It's an exciting time to be together. A little bit more about that in just a moment. But for right now, John chapter 1, if you want to go, we're going to be reading from there in just a moment. If you want to go ahead and be turning to John chapter 1, You can put a marker in there, something to hold your place. We'll get back to that. But while you're turning over there, I want to tell you a story that Jim Hamlin told me not too long ago. And it was about a gentleman who was single. He didn't have a wife, didn't have children, didn't have a whole lot of family. And he got pretty lonely. And he decided he needed a pet. So he goes to the pet store. And he's looking around at all the different pets. And the guy came up and said, "Can I help you find a pet?" He said, "Yeah, I want a pet, but I don't want the run-of-the-mill pet. I want something a little different, just a little bit different." And so they looked around, looked at all the different kind of pets, and finally he decided upon a talking centipede. You know what a centipede is, right? It's a bug with 100, yeah. So he decided, the guy sold him this, and he actually bought a talking centipede, okay? So he names it Gus. What's wrong? That's not funny, Kit. He names the centipede Gus, and he takes Gus home, and Gus came with his own little white box. It was like his house. Okay, so Gus is in his house, and he puts him up on a shelf there, and he's thinking, "What can I do with Gus? What can I do with Gus? Well, he can't fetch. He can't, well, okay. What do I do with Gus? I know I can take him to church. That'd be a good thing to do. I'm going to take Gus to church with me." So the next morning he got up, and he's pretty excited about that. And he got dressed, and he goes over, and he talks to the box. He said, "Gus, would you like to go to church with me today? We can have a good time." And he's listening for the response, and he didn't hear anything. So he goes, "Well, okay, I won't be deterred. I'll ask him again. Gus, would you like to go to church with me today and receive blessings?" Still no response. And he could have got aggravated at this point, but he decided, no, persistence is the key here. And so he decided, "I'll give him one last chance." So he gets way down next to the house, the little white house, the little box, and he says, "Hey in there, would you like to go to church with me and learn about God?" And this little voice came out of the box, "I heard you the first time. I'm just still putting on my shoes." That'll be funny later. Jim, thank you for that, brother. Thank you for that. He was excited about going to church, as was Gus. And I hope that you are equally excited about being at church here today. And I was excited when I got up this morning, not only by the cooler weather, but I knew what we were going to be talking about today. We were going to be talking about why we should want to come to church. Furthermore, why we should want to invite others to come to church. Further, because I knew this was the Sunday of preparation for next Sunday, which is National Back to Church Sunday. All across our nation, there are going to be churches, thousands of them that are having an emphasis next Sunday. It's Back to Church Sunday next Sunday. And I'm excited about that. And that's a Sunday where we can invite people who haven't been to church for a while or people that have never been to church. We can invite them to come be a part of us. And we know that the churches who participate in that, as you know, people says, "What is National Back to Church Sunday exactly?" I said, "That's when the rest of us do what Bob Doty does the other 51 weeks of the year." Right, Bob? Yeah, you're the man. So we're going to all do it this week, and I hope that you're excited about it. It will work if you are excited about it and take it seriously. So I'm ready for that. I know why I like to come to church. I hope that you have some of the same opinions, but so that our sermon this morning is more conversational than it is confrontational, I'm just going to tell you the reasons why I like to come to church, and you can apply as it applies to you, as you resonate with it. Reasons I like to come to church. Number one, and you can jot these down if you want to. If you don't want to, that's not what the card's for. Don't write them on the card. The card is later. But if you want to jot these down in your sermon notes, reasons why I come to church. I come to church because I want to grow. I want to grow in my faith. In a couple weeks from now, we're going to start a 5-week campaign called the 30-Day Church Challenge, where we'll discover how each of us can really fulfill our God-given potential by engaging in the 5 purposes of the church. These are outlined in the book of Acts, and it's going to be a great study. And one of the many things that we're going to learn is why weekly worship attendance is one of the most important behaviors to spark spiritual growth. You know, coming to church kind of, it exposes you to God's word. It exposes you to the fellowship of other believers. We learn from His word and from one another. And that's important for us. It's kind of like resetting your clock or maybe resetting the circuit breakers in your life that get overloaded during the course of the week. And you reset, and it helps you to know what kind of person you truly can be with God's help and the support of these people. It's important. I want to come to church because I want to grow. Number two, second reason I come to church is I want to do what God says. Pure and simple. Throughout Scripture, there are commands such as, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's in Galatians chapter 6. Other places, serve one another in love, submit to spiritual authorities, take the Lord's Supper, get teaching, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Let us not give up meeting together. All of these commands, if I'm not attending church, it's hard to keep those commands. So the second reason I come is I want to do what God says. The third reason I come to church is I want to be around people who sharpen me. And what I mean by that is I want to be around people whose goals are similar to mine, whose values are similar to mine. Proverbs 27:17 tells us that as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens another. And I want to be sharpened by people that I respect, people that are headed in the same direction I am. So that's why I come to church. I can't get that at the beach. I can't get that at the ball game or the bar or those type of places. So I want to come to church. Reason number four, I want to live a longer life. And you go, what? Interesting. The Bible in Deuteronomy 32, verses 46 and 47, the Bible says that those who take to heart the words of God will live a long life. Isn't that interesting? And you may think I'm being facetious. I'm really not. There are secular surveys that actually verify people who attend church at least 3 out of 4 weekends a month live on average about 7 years longer than those who don't. Now, you and I both know it's not walking through the doors that has anything to do with it. It is about what happens here in this place and with these people, right? Amen. Reason number five, I want to train my children well. I want to train your children well. We want to train our children. They can learn math in school, but they learn to love God through family and God's family. And that's a big part of why we come together. I want our children exposed to the Lord. I want our children exposed to the truth of God's word. I want them to understand that there is one true God and that God sent His Son for them and that through Him and through Him alone, at least if you take Jesus at His word, through Him alone, we have a relationship with our Creator God. And some of you may immediately be thinking, well, that preacher, that's kind of a narrow-minded teaching. Well, it's not my teaching. It's Jesus' teaching. I'm just repeating it, and I believe it, and I take it seriously. And by the way, it's not narrow-minded. It's not narrow-minded because the gospel of Jesus Christ is all-inclusive. He invites everyone to accept it. Everyone. The only thing that's narrow is the gate, and the gate is narrow because of our choices, not because of the invitation. Because the invitation is all-inclusive. And that's what I want our children to know. To choose the path that God has for them. It's important. It's important to know where we stand. When people come into our congregation, we can teach. We can love and encourage the truths of God's word. Number six, I want to strengthen my marriage. Be honest with you, you may have heard statistics that say Christians divorce at the same rate as everyone else, but it's simply not true. Professor Bradley Wright at UConn, at the University of Connecticut, has found that Christians who rarely attend church divorce at a 60% rate, but Christians who attend church regularly divorce at somewhere between 35 and 38%. Okay? I'm going to play the odds there. I want to be regular in my church attendance. I want to increase the fellowship, the strength, the learning that will strengthen my marriage. Number seven, I want a better outlook on life. There are studies all over the internet that show that people who attend church or a faith community regularly are more optimistic, they're more hope-filled, they're healthier than non-churchgoers. I want that. I want to be healthy. It's interesting because you go to the hospital, and those that work in hospitals will tell you this. Those that work in hospitals, whenever a minister comes, they want the minister to go in to see the patient. Because they know that that element of faith is that intangible that makes a difference in people's lives and in their health. I want to live a better life. I want to have a better outlook on life. And part of that is sharing this time with you. Number 8, I want rewards in heaven. Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust decay, but store up for yourself treasures. What did I say? I said on earth, didn't I? Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Yeah. Store up the treasures there. Do you think he meant that when he said it? Yeah, I do. I think he did. I believe what he said. And if we truly believe that, then the way to do it is to serve him according to his commands. And there are some incredible rewards. If you read over in Revelation, God revealing himself, if you read that, crowns for faithful service, crowns for bringing others to Christ, the opportunity to sit on the throne with God while he's worshiped, what more could we ask for? Some incredible rewards. Peter once said to Jesus, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. And the Lord's response was, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. What more do we want? I take Jesus at his word and I want that for me and I want it for you. Number 9, it sounds starting to sound like a top 10 list, isn't it? Number 9, I want to be part of a cause that's bigger than me, and I want to invest in something that will last for eternity. When Jesus left here, he put it in motion with the sending of the Holy Spirit for the church to be what is bigger than us, the kingdom of God, which is bigger than us. I want to be part of the church, the body of Christ, because it's bigger than me. It helps me get myself out of the way and be part of something that lasts for eternity. The relationships that we build here, they last for eternity. That's all that lasts for eternity, is the relationships we have with one another and our relationship with God. And I want to be part of that. So are you convinced now that you ought to be at church? Can I get an amen, choir? Yes. All right. That's 9, but because I was going on that 10 route, I'll give you one more. Number 10, I want to come to church because more people come to Christ in church services than anywhere else on earth. We know this statistically. Now, you talk about seeds being planted in other places. Sure, they are. But we get to see the fruit of it in worship service. And I want to be there when it happens. And I want to celebrate with the kind of baptism services that we have here. Amen? I want to celebrate and praise God for those times. Now, with the time that's remaining, let me show you a couple of examples. We know now, I hope you're convinced that you want to be at church. Are you? Your head's this way. Yes, we want to be at church, okay? With the time remaining, let me give you a couple of examples of bringing people into a spiritual environment and the corresponding reasons to invite people to church. The first is found in John chapter 1. You had your finger there in the Bible. And the first half of this chapter, the first half of the chapter is the story of Jesus' baptism, okay? At age 30, which incidentally, the age 30 was significant because that was the age in which a priest is able to begin making sacrifices in the temple. So it was a significant number, and Jesus fully understood the significance of it. But at age 30, Jesus leaves his home in Nazareth, and he journeys to the Jordan River. And John 1:35 and following goes like this. It says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, What do you want? What do you desire? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. And as Jeff referenced, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. So what did Andrew do? First thing he did, he left and he went and he told his brother, come meet Jesus. We found the Christ. Why did he do that? We'll call these reasons to invite. The reason he did that is because people who meet Jesus are so moved by him that they want to introduce him to those people that they care about. Does that make sense? If you care about them, you want them to know Jesus, right? So that's reason number one. Andrew said, "Simon, we found the Messiah. We found the Christ. Come and meet him. Come and meet him." People who meet Jesus want to introduce him to their friends. And the number one place that people are introduced to Jesus is through relationships of the body of Christ. This week, you are going to have, I don't know how many, numerous conversations with people that you care about, some of whom may not know Jesus. Why would you want to invite them to church? Hello? Because you want to introduce them to Jesus. And why do you want to introduce them to Jesus? Because he is the way to the Father. Jesus said, "If you know me, if you see me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know the Father, you need to know me. I and the Father am one. I am the Father." They're one. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. The people you care about, you want them to know Jesus. Second story. Flip over in your Bible to a couple pages to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus and the fellows are traveling south. They're about noontime when they pass by a Samaritan city of Sychar, and there's a well that's about 3 miles outside of the town. And when they reach it, Jesus looks at the disciples and says, "Guys, you go on. I'm going to rest here for a while. You guys go on and get us some food." And while they're in the town, a woman comes to the well. Now, why did she come to this well? Because it's 3 miles outside of town. She doesn't feel comfortable mingling with the townspeople for reasons we'll discuss in a minute. Why does she come at noontime? It's very strange, believe it or not. It's very strange because people in the Middle Eastern culture, they fetch water in the morning and the evening before the sun gets too hot and after it cools down. Water is heavy. It makes no sense to fetch water at noontime. Why does she do that? No one carries water at noon. Why is she here at this place at this time? She's there because she doesn't want to meet anybody. She does not want to run into anybody. She's an outcast because she slept with about every man in the village. So she does not want to encounter anybody. And as she approaches the well, Jesus strikes up this conversation with her. And in the midst of their conversation, she decides that he must be the Messiah. What does she do? Verses 28 through 30 tell us. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And they came out of the town and they made their way toward him. This woman didn't want to talk to anybody in her town until she met Jesus. So why did she invite them to meet Jesus? Here's why. Because people who meet Jesus are so moved by him that they want to introduce everybody to him, including the people that don't care about him. Including the people that don't care about them. "Come and see," she said. "Come and see this man who may be the Christ, who may be the Messiah." And this week, you're going to have conversations again with people, this time with people that probably don't care about you. They may not even know you. Prior to today, you may not have even cared about them. But God is going to put them in your path. Use that as an opportunity to invite them into this fellowship. And you go, Raymond, that could be really awkward. That could be an awkward moment for me. Trust me, it is not near as awkward as this woman with her reputation going back into the city and inviting those people to come to the well at noon. It cannot be as awkward as that. Those people had condemned her. They did not like her. She probably did not like them. And she'd gone to the well to avoid these very people. But yet after encountering Christ, after meeting him and knowing him, it touched her so deeply that it didn't matter how awkward the conversation might be. She wanted every member of her town to meet him. It's a remarkable story. How deeply Jesus touched her. And the question we have to answer is, how deeply has Jesus touched us? Next weekend, I'm going to explain to people as vivid terms as I know how why they should come to Jesus and why they should be a part of this fellowship to be encouraged and to grow together. How will you feel? How will you feel if someone that you invited comes and receives Christ? Even maybe somebody that you don't like and doesn't like you. If you invite them and they come, you know it's a God thing, right? You know it's a God thing. What if they receive Christ? Awesome. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you to write down the names of 5, 6, 7 people, at least a handful of people. As you came in, you should have received a card. Choir, I haven't forgotten about you. Where do cards go? I had some set up here. 1 minute, pause. Put that on pause. We want to make sure everybody have cards. Do y'all have cards? Now you do. All right, Kent, will you help me, buddy?
Sure.
Hop up here. Hop up. Kent is going to go down the aisle. There should be pencils. There should be pencils in the pew. All right? There are going to be pencils there. We're going to ask you to write the names of at least a handful of people that you are willing to invite to church next week. Make it a stretch. Maybe it's someone, you know, maybe it's somebody, a clerk at a counter or a coach on your son's team or daughter's team or something. Think of people and write names down. Write names down. This is a commitment time for us. Kent, if you would, there's pens and there are cards. If you do not have a card or something to write with, if you would just raise your hand high enough so that Kent can spot you, he's going to be passing those things out. Because we want it to be something tangible that you can take with you this week. And every time you see that, you continue to pray, God, show me who it is that you want me to invite. And God, give me an opportunity and allow me to take the opportunity to invite these people that I've written on my list. Think about it. Pray about it. While he's passing that out, it's as simple as saying, hey, next Sunday is National Back to Church Sunday all over the country. Would you come to church with me next Sunday? How about that? That's a good plan. Can you say it? Repeat after me. Hey! Let's try one more time. The choir was with me, but repeat after me. Hey, next Sunday is National Back to Church Sunday. All over the country. Would you come with me to church next Sunday? That wasn't hard, now was it? And if you can do it here and we can laugh about it, you can do it this week. I've got complete confidence in you. We're going to take you just a couple of moments. Just a couple of moments. Think about it. Pray about it. Write down those names. And then we'll come back together and we'll have a prayer dedication together. So just take a few minutes. Pray about it and write those names down. This is good stuff. People need the Lord, but people also need people, don't we? You know, the horizontal relationships we have with one another, the vertical relationship, the relationship we have with God. Many times people see God and they come to know God through their relationship with us. And as believers, we need to pray that God would use us in a way and that He would keep us clean vessels so that we can truly be used by Him. That's important. It really is. And I pray that my prayer for you this week is not only that you would have the opportunity to invite someone to come into this fellowship, but that in your own life you would begin to see God, how God is pruning you and cutting out the dead wood in your life and the stuff that needs to be taken out. That's a part of growing as well. So this morning we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And as we sing, I want the invitation to be kind of twofold. First of all, if you're not a believer, I'd sure love to talk with you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing that you'll ever make a decision about. So I want that to always be open. But I also want, for those of us that constantly struggle, you know, we're dealing with time issues and priorities and all of those things, I want us to kind of place a lot of that stuff aside, at least for 1 week, and discover how God can really use us on a day-to-day basis. I want us to commit ourselves to really inviting people to be a part of this fellowship and grow together. If that is your wish and your desire, settle that with God right where you are, or I'll be glad to talk with you if you'd like to, but it's a time of commitment, of recommitting ourselves to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And of course, there's always an open invitation. If you'd like to be a part of this fellowship in a, quote, official capacity, we accept members by many different ways. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. But let's stand together now and sing. Following the song, I'll have a prayer dedication over these names that we've written down so that we'll go out from here on in a good step, excited about reaching people for Christ. But for right now, let's stand and sing this hymn of commitment together. our benediction prayer of dedication, I want to ask you, look around you, notice where our guests are, be sure and welcome them and celebrate the encouragement that we have as a body of believers, okay? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, your Spirit has been here and it will continue to guide us this week. We pray that we would be faithful to the tasks that you have placed before us. God, we pray that our lives would be the kind of example that point others to Jesus Christ. And we pray that our speech would be wholesome and that our speech would be inviting. Father, give us your strength, your guidance, your power as we go from this place and invite others to come be a part of the fellowship that we call a church, but it's the body of Christ. And as we do that, and as we're faithful, we'll be careful to give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.